Live from the Car Care Studios, it's the CNC Auto Show with your personal on-air and online automotive service advisors, Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney. So climb in, buckle up, and enjoy the ride on the CNC Auto Show.
And we do welcome you to the CNC Auto Show. And if you are looking for information on ways to make your car safe, dependable, and long-lasting, you have landed in the right spot. I am Aaron Clements.
I'm John Ryan.
And this is one of my favorite shows. John Ryan, we had a great hour last hour on the car-related love stories.
We did.
And we will do the same thing again. And this will be a totally separate situation. It starts fresh now with the car-related love stories. So if you have a car-related love story, you give us a call. And that number, 1-800-224-9090 or 706-863-5800. And if you call at the end of the show, then we will have Sweethearts James Pate and Joan Pate calling in.
Okay.
And they will pick the show and decide on a winner for that hour. And that person will receive a $50 gift card. Now, also, our bread and butter is the car question. That's what we enjoy a huge amount doing also. So with that part being said, where are we going?
So the next step's going to be Leroy.
Hey, Leroy, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. We appreciate the call, and what can we help with?
Good morning, guys. Appreciate your show.
Thank you for calling.
I have a 95 Ford Ranger 2.3 liter. It has a high idle problem when it's cold. When it's cold, I can start that thing up. It'll probably, I don't have a tack, but it'll probably run around 2 grand or better. And I can drive it for 8 miles in fourth gear. It's just like having cruise on, but it doesn't have cruise. And then finally, it'll idle down.
Uh-huh.
When it's warm, comes out of the heated shop, then it probably goes for maybe 30 seconds, and then it idles down.
So it seems to do fine if the ambient temperature of the vehicle overnight was, you know, relatively warm, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
And then when it's parked outside, ambient temperature dips down, it seems to idle very high for what? How long? 4 or 5 minutes?
Oh, no, 15.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there are a few things to check. Of course, one thing, how's the coolant gauge look? Does it actually read and kind of represent what the engine would be? Meaning, does it, you know, respond and it comes up to operating temperature pretty quick, or no?
Well, it's like it's always been. I mean, the truck is old. It's got 160,000 miles on it.
Sure.
But it still comes up like usual. But it's when it's extremely cold, which it is here now, you know, well below zero.
Right.
It doesn't.
Does your heater get warm?
Yeah, pretty good.
Because there's quite a few inputs that can change that idle, like what you're describing. So, of course, one of the things would be a thermostat. If for some reason a thermostat was stuck in the open position, of course, it would obviously take much, much longer to warm up. And, of course, the truck's computer is smart enough to know that the vehicle's not warmed up. So, of course, obviously, it will keep the idle elevated until it does warm up. So that's a possibility. But another thing, and of course, the number one input to the car or the truck computer would be the ECT sensor, the engine coolant temp sensor. If it for some reason is skewed or not reading the proper voltage signal coming out, which of course translates the temperature to voltage, and the computer then obviously knows what temperature the engine is. If for some reason it's not reading properly, it could do this exact same thing. So you'd be surprised. We see a lot of sensors kind of act up when it's cold versus when it's hot. And then of course, vice versa. Sometimes they act up when it's hot and does fine when it's cold. So that would be definitely a place to look at. What year did you say this was? A 95, I believe.
Correct.
So 95 in Ford was somewhat of a frustrating year. 95, you could either have either or OBD1 or OBD2. OBD2 technically wasn't really out and mandated until 96, but many of the Ford vehicles was 95, kind of had both, believe it or not. So the reason I say that is because it would be great to be able to put a scan tool in there and actually monitor the vehicle's data, the data stream of all the sensors, the inputs to the computer, and you would definitely find it. I don't necessarily think it's like an idle air speed motor or anything like that, because it seems to be temperature related.
What I can tell you that we used to run into on a regular basis, and as a matter of fact, if these items hadn't been replaced, you could probably rest assured that you could just put them on there. One is a TPS sensor.
Yeah.
Throttle position sensor. They'd go bad all the time. Second thing would have been a baro sensor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are a little pricey. I believe I would have that checked on doing it. TPS is not that expensive. And the other, what's some of the other things that we would run into?
So, well, the TPS ground connector.
Temperature sensor.
A little ground by the battery.
Yeah, grounds. But if that car does not have the OBD2, somebody's going to have to go in and manually check each one of those with a multimeter. And
breakout
it can be
box.
Tested. They can find out what's wrong. But if it's got the OBD2, then they can plug in and the computer will tell on who's bad, who's acting up. It'll tell on their self. And what John Ryan's mentioning is just like if you had QuickBooks and you were looking at all and you were doing a tax form, if something were to report something wrong, the output is going to be bad. So if you've got an input going in there that's way off, then the output, the computer's going to think the engine is cold and it's going to rev it up to try to offset the colder weather. So
it's being told what to do.
Now, if you like to do stuff yourself, you might say, well, I'll toss a TPS at it, and because I enjoy working with the cars and in throttle position sensor, and you could manually check your
codes.
And
I definitely think that could be it, but temperature related, I still
think. Yeah. But if you're paying to get it done, I'd go ahead and have the diagnostics run and say, well, what items do I need? And you'll be able to get it squared away that way. But you're going to have some sensors that are bad.
Okay. You talked about a coolant sensor. That would be an item that screws into the block.
That's correct.
And if you were to remove that, of course, then the antifreeze would come gushing out of there.
It would. If the antifreeze is good, of course, I know this sounds silly, but you could just put your thumb over the hole. It's not a very high volume bill or anything.
But make sure the engine's a little cold. You don't want to do it when the engine's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or going down the road.
If you were to do that and then take that sensor and start the engine and apply it with a heat gun, a little warmth, and it idle down, then that would take care of that sensor, right?
It would, yeah. It would kind of definitely, kind of give you an idea what's going on. But I'll be honest, those sensors are so inexpensive. If you're going to take the time to take it out, I'd recommend replacing it.
And to tell you the truth, what I would recommend doing, because you had a little hesitation in your voice when I asked you about your heater, I believe I'd go ahead and do the thermostat and the temperature sensor at the same time. Go ahead and knock those out. That way you got a good thermostat. And then if you were going to try something else, I believe I would go with that TPS.
Okay. We'll give her a try.
Well, good luck.
And then I guess the other reality of it is you could just keep it in that warm shop.
Yeah. Throw a blanket over it at night.
All right, Leroy.
I don't like to be outside and shivers too much. Yep. You bet. Thank you.
All right. We do appreciate it. And we, if you have a short car-related love story, you could win a $50 gift card. All you have to do is dial 800-224-9090, or you can dial 706-863-5800. That's on any Saturday mornings, 8:05 to 10 Eastern time. And we would love to hear your story, but also we would love to hear your car question. If you have a question about your car, truck, or SUV, we are here for you. And I do want to mention one quick thing added to that. What do you do when you have a bug in your car, John Ryan? If you're riding down the road and boom, a bee or a bug all of a sudden gets in your car and it's a bee or a wasp.
Definitely don't jump out. That's kind of a tough one. I guess try and remain still and as calm as possible, because, of course, anytime you flip out, of course, it seems like the bug knows about it and it's trying to get you even more. But try and get over to the side of the road and get out as possible.
I guess the main thing is stay calm. Put your hazards on, all that other.
I actually have a funny story.
Well, tell us.
All right.
But we'll be right back after these messages. Don't bust your knuckles. Bust your nuts with PB Blaster, the number one selling penetrant for breaking free rusted parts. Now Blaster introduces their revolutionary Pro Straw with control flow technology. Simply put, it's a better way to spray. It features a clear flip-up straw and a volume adjuster to control the flow from just a wide spray to a precision stream to just a drop. More precision, less mess, and no one else has it. Always use Blaster products and work it like a pro.
Let's head back down to the Car Care Studio with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by Motorrad, now offering an extensive line of advanced engine management products, including cam and crank sensors, ignition coils, mass airflow sensors, and variable valve timing solenoids. Drive to Motorrad.com for more information.
And we do have our car-related love story contest going on. You could win a $50 gift card by dialing 800-224-9090 or 706-863-5800. Giving us your story, and at the end, we will pick a winner. Also, we love to have those automotive questions. If you have a question about your car, truck, or SUV, give us a call. John Ryan, who will we be talking to next?
Next up's Ken.
Fantastic. Hello, Ken, and welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with?
Yeah, good morning. I've got a car lover-related story.
Oh, that
is so... In 1984, I was working at Rich's department store at there at the Augusta Mall as a delivery furniture guy. And I asked a girl out who worked in the jewelry section. And at the time, I was driving a 1969 Pontiac Executive. I don't know if you know anything about that car, but it was a tank. It's four doors. It weighed about 3,000 pounds, kind of similar to the Catalinas. It had the red Indian light that would light up in about the 60-mile-per-hour mark when you turned on the brights. So I didn't want to take my first date out in a 69 Pontiac. This was 1984. And my dad had a 1975 Ford Thunderbird that he had bought from Ken Sanders when he was up there at Gordon Highway. And North Leg, mm-hmm. You remember that spot. And he let me borrow the car, and it was still a 9-year-old T-Bird, right? Uh-huh. But it was an upgrade from my 69 Pontiac Executive. So we went out on the first date. I found out later that her boyfriend from high school, right, you know, that they had recently broke up. The only thing he wanted to know was, what kind of car did I drive? You know, as if that was the main thing, right? So long story short, 36 years later, 5 kids, 8 grandkids, just had another one born this week. We're still together, and about, you know, 10, 15 cars later, it all started in a 75 Ford T-Bird. And that's my story.
So, Ken, the T-Bird paid off.
Yes, it did.
All right.
You know, the funny thing about that T-Bird was, at that time, it was 9 years old, and you could be going down the road 60 miles an hour, and the engine would just cut off. And just like every car I've ever known, where the engine would just cut out on you, nobody could ever fix it. I got relatives right now have cars that will stall out and have spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to fix them, and... No one I know personally has ever fixed a car that would stall out or just shut out for no reason.
That was our early fuel savings feature on that vehicle.
Well, I'll tell you, the 70s and 80s were not the prime years for domestic vehicles at that time.
That was probably the best thing that happened to those era of cars stalled out.
They would go through a little bit of a rough time. Go ahead.
Yeah, Toyota and Honda made them step up their game. I was just going to say Toyota and Honda made them step up their game.
Well, and they did. Domestic cars are beautiful now.
And they did.
They're made as good or better than any car in the whole world. Ken, thank you very much for a beautiful love story about the 75 T-Bird. and how it came through.
Thank you.
Okay, Ken's in the running for the car related love story. Okay, John Ryan, where will we be going?
Let's go over to Terry. We got a few minutes before a break.
Yeah, we do. Hey, Terry, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. What can we help with?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I don't have a love story in particular, but I've had a lot of cars over the years, and I loved them all. I can tell you that.
But, same here.
Right now, I've got a 2007 Toyota Camry with a four-cylinder in it. And when I start it up in the morning, it idles at 2,000 to 2,300 RPM for a little while. Then it'll start coming down. It'll get down to 1,500, and then it'll go back up to 2,000 and back and forth for about two or three, maybe 4 minutes. Then it finally warms up, and it gets down to where I can put it in gear and go. The rest of the day, the car's fine. It only does it when it's cold.
So Toyota does have...
I was wondering what might be causing that to do that.
Toyota does have a very cold start, high idle amongst all their vehicles. Actually, it's part of the programming. But what I will say is what we've seen that affects that when it's operating somewhat not so, you know, factory is carbon buildup. What happens is that carbon buildup kind of restricts the minimum airflow in between the throttle plate and, of course, the throttle body. And as a result of that, it kind of confuses the throttle body. It opens, it closes. It's kind of, it just simply doesn't know what to do because of the additional carbon. So what happens a lot of times, of course, if you do a induction service, we use BG chemicals, BG induction service. It goes in and fogs a chemical, two-part chemical in front of the throttle body and chemically removes that. Years ago, of course, everybody used to clean throttle bodies by hand and, you know, unfortunately, potentially could have done a lot of damage. So now everything's chemically removed. You reset the computer, and then I believe that idle would correct itself because it is somewhat normal for it to idle higher in the colder climates or colder temperatures, but not what he's describing, unfortunately. So once it starts fluctuating, you kind of take an assumption that, of course, it's got carbon buildup.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
All right. John. Okay. We appreciate the call. And we are, if you have a short car-related love story, you could win a $50 gift card. Just dial 800-224-9090 or 706-863-5800. That's Saturday mornings, 8:05 to 10 Eastern. And we would love to hear from you. You could win that $50. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
It's time for more good stuff with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
Today's OE fix from Dorman. Intake manifolds. A failing variable intake manifold control system can cause rough running and throw off a check engine light. The original equipment intake manifold on certain Hyundai and Kia vehicles fail when the pivot linkage connecting the two variable intake flapper valve shafts shear from fatigue. This Dorman OE Fix intake manifold has been completely re-engineered for greater durability. The flapper valve shafts are made from thicker material for improved strength, and the shafts are supported by additional bearings to reduce stress points that led to the failure in the factory design. It matches the original manifold's dimensions for trouble-free installation and has been quality tested to ensure a long service life. With applications for a large number of vehicles, you can find Dorman intake manifolds in addition to other products at most automotive retailers and at DormanProducts.com. That's DormanProducts.com.
Well, the midnight headlight blinds you on a rainy night, street grade up ahead, slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep rolling.
And if you do have a question about your car, truck, or SUV, you give us a call, 706-863-5800 or 800-224-9090. Also, we're looking for car-related love stories. You could win a $50 gift card. Just give us a call. And John Ryan, who will we be talking to next?
So next up's John.
Fantastic. Hello, John, and welcome to the CNC Auto Show. What can we help you with?
Well, good morning, guys. I got a kind of an anti-love story for you.
Oh, my goodness. We're ready.
Probably around 61, 62, something like that. I was driving my mom's 59 Ford, the six-cylinder, three on the tree. And the day before, I'd had a radio put in from a guy that owned a gas station we went to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Big old AM radio. It was about, near about as big as a refrigerator. And it hung below the dash, between the dash and the drive shaft hub. And I went on a date. And we broke up for some reason. I don't remember why, but we broke up. I was driving home. It was nighttime, and it was raining. And the song, I'm sure if you remember, Aaron, Rhythm of the Rain, about breaking up. It came on, and that was the saddest drive home I think I've ever had. And now whenever I hear that song, I think of that girl in that car.
And what kind of car was it again?
A 59 Ford sedan, four-door.
59 Ford. The sad song on the way home from after breakup.
Yep.
All right. John, thank you so much for sharing that story with us.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And the number to call is 706-863-5800 or 800-224-9090. Where are we heading?
All right. Next up is going to be Paul.
Fantastic. Hey, Paul, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with?
Oh, good morning, guys. I've got a car I'm working on for my brother-in-law, and it's a 2006 Toyota Matrix. Mm-hmm. It's that little SUV. It's a twin to the Pontiac Vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basically it's a Toyota because everything on there, Toyota drivetrain, electronics, everything. I've got a random airbag light that comes on. You'll start it, the light's off, you drive it, you come back, and then the light will just pop on after you pull in the driveway. Shut it off, turn it on, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. They had the airbags replaced under this recall that Toyota had, and you know, I went online and tried to find out about it. It's fairly common that they go, the light goes on and off, but I don't see any rhyme or reason to it. Every time I've had one, it's been something like the clock spring or,
right,
you know, a sensor or something like that. Rarely a sensor because they're pretty much indestructible. Have you guys experienced anything? Is there a way to read codes or to
yeah,
see
there's definitely
on that light?
Of course, yes, you can definitely read codes because even if the light wasn't on, there would be a history code stored in there. The only downside to that is, of course, you would have to have more of a dealer level or automotive repair level scan tool that can go into that specific module and actually pull codes from it. Your typical, you know, handheld engine scan computer will not go into the restraint module.
Yeah, mine doesn't have SRS
exactly
capability. I've just got a standard one.
Yeah, so, but like you said, I will say, and I guess in my experience, our experience, you know, intermittent problems like that are normally either a buckle, seat belt, clock spring, those kind of things. Normally, you know, relatively inexpensive, but I would, you know, just kind of, you said that they've been done under the recall, so I would, you know, just simply take it back to them and say, hey, you know, since the airbag recall, my light's been kind of coming and going. Is there anything you could do? Maybe pull the codes, let me know what they are, you know, kind of see what's going on. Because a lot of those Takata bags, of course, when they were replaced, there was actually some updated clock springs that went along with that. So hopefully, obviously, you got the whole nine yards, you know, as far as a full repair, because it could very well be a clock spring. The only other thing that you could kind of try is, sounds random, but does the horn work when the light's on?
It does. I did try that. The cruise control is down on the column, so
right.
I don't think it goes through there. But
no, it wouldn't.
The horn does work, which is the only other control up on the steering
yeah.
wheel.
And, of course, that's just one series of the circuit on that clock spring, but it's still a good idea to check. So, yeah, of course, the best thing would be is knowing what kind of code it is, because you'll be surprised if it says seatbelt retractor or seatbelt buckle. You know, you'll find weird stuff in there, penny in there or, you know, something like that. Shorten the contact out and not seeing any seat weight, you know, can set that code. Could have an issue with the occupant sensor on the passenger side, you know, not detecting the proper weight. So there's several things that could be intermittent. But you're right.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to be an airbag. It's not going to be anything like that. Or it's not going to be a crash sensor because those rarely fail, like you mentioned, unless they're actually in the event of an accident. But, yeah, I would just, you know, urge you to get it scanned and see what they say.
Yeah, I think I'll run it back to Toyota and let them at least look at it, say it's not us or,
yeah,
you know, it's something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, no, I would go in there, it. You know, obviously not by no means blaming them for it. Just say, hey, look, you know, ever since this, I realize it could be something else.
May even be an update that
never know.
They have to perform after replacing the airbag that wasn't done. And of course, they can check
sure.
for bulletins also.
Yep.
Very good. All right. Well, I appreciate the help, guys. Thank
okay,
you.
We
Paul.
Thank you. And the number to call, 706-863-5800, and that's 800-224-9090. You can also call. Watch us live on Facebook. Where are we heading?
get another car story. Let's go to Tony.
Oh, I love it. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show. John Ryan mentioned that you may have a car story for us.
Good morning. Thank you all so much for, you know, for the information you all give us on the show. And thanks so much for taking my call. And yes, I do have many car-related stories, but you said keep it short, so I'll make an effort to do that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so the lady that I'm married to, someone invited me to a Sunday school social. So I went to the Sunday school social with some friends of mine. And while I was there, there was a man there who said that he needed to leave early because he had a date. Well, I was standing nearby, and I said, if she's got a friend, keep me in mind. And when I said that, there was a lady standing there who said, are you serious? Are you really interested in meeting someone? And I said, if she's got a pulse, I'm interested. So she said, I'm serious now. I've got a friend I'd like to introduce you to. Huh? So 2 days later, she introduced me to her friend. And as we started dating and going out, this wonderful lady that I'm married to drove a 1990 Corsica.
Mm-hmm.
And during our dating, the air conditioning went out. Early on in our dating, the air conditioning went out in the Corsica. And I said, well, don't worry about it. We can just roll the windows down. And she said, remember, you're going to be riding in this Corsica. And I said, that's right. How much did the mechanic say it was going to cost to get that fixed? And we've been married now for almost 19 years.
So the Corsica without the AC did the trick.
Yes, sir. And I thought it'd be a good idea just to ride around with the windows rolled down. But when she reminded me that I was going to be a regular passenger in that Corsica, I thought we might want to make an investment in that air conditioner.
Yeah,
right.
And Tony, you proved again that it never hurts to go ahead and speak up. When your friend was going on a date, you said, does she have a friend?
Jump out there.
Is there a friend? So never hurts to speak up.
That's exactly right, and I'm sure you all are familiar with this saying, you can't kill any birds if you don't shoot at them.
Right.
Absolutely. And congratulations, and thank you very much for a beautiful love story.
Hey, thank you all so much for what you do. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Tony. Number to call, 800-224-9090. And we will be going to Chuck and Ron very shortly, but if you have a car-related love story, you could win a $50 gift card. You just dial 800-224-9090, 706-863-5800. That's Saturday mornings, 8:05 to 10 Eastern time, and we will put you there. John Ryan, we've had some great stories so far.
Yeah, good stories coming in. Yeah,
it's turned out really good. And we do have, I will mention that we have Judges James and Joan Pate. They are keeping track of everything, and they, at the end, near the end of this show, they will name a winner. And we also have a tech tip quiz laying on the table. If someone has that, and I will mention that question one more time. Scott wanted to do something special on Valentine's Day for his wife, Shelly. So he went to a store that sold perfume and jewelry, spent $10, and made it the most special Valentine's Day ever. What did he buy? If you know the answer, give us a call, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't bust your knuckles, bust your nuts with PB Blaster, the number one selling penetrant for breaking free rusted parts. Now Blaster introduces their revolutionary Pro Straw with control flow technology. Simply put, it's a better way to spray. It features a clear flip-up straw and a volume adjuster to control the flow from just a wide spray to a precision stream to just a drop. More precision, less mess, and no one else has it. Always use Blaster products and work it like a pro.
Welcome back to more of the CNC Auto Show with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by AutoBatteries.com. Powered by Clarios, AutoBatteries.com features a wealth of information on vehicle batteries, from new technology to jump starting and charging. And if you have a question about your car, give us a call. We'll be announcing the winner of the car-related love story very shortly. And we do still have a tech tip quiz laying on the table. All that going on, right? We're on fire, man. Where are we going?
Let's go over to Chuck.
Fantastic. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. What can we help with?
Hey, good morning. I have a 2001 Z71, and last couple of weeks, intermittently, it would start and then shut right back off, start, shut right back off. And I do that for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and I leave it alone. I come back, and it would start. So I'm trying to kind of figure out, and it doesn't seem to be a battery because it's all the lights are strong. I did hook it up and try to charge it, and the battery was, it said it was fine. So I'm kind of wondering what may cause that vehicle just to actually start and then a second later just die, shut off.
Chuck, every time that it did it, was it pretty much the exact same runtime, meaning it's cranked, it ran for maybe a second and a half, and it's stalled?
Yes.
And it was the same time, like it's, you didn't start it one time, it ran for 30 seconds and shut off. It was always that about
No, it would always, 2 seconds. No, sir, it would always die immediately.
So what you're describing is a security problem on that particular vehicle. When the security, when you see, you know, of course it looks for the key, it will, of course, crank up. Right. And as soon as it recognizes that that key is what GM or what the computer thinks is not valid, it kills the power to the injectors and just shuts off. And that, again, that's if it was the exact same time, every time you cranked it up, it shut off that time window right there. Model,
you know, it is intermittently. That's why I was asking.
Yep.
I know my son did get a new key. I don't know which one we're using, tell you the truth, but,
yeah.
But it doesn't happen all the time. That's why it's kind of weird.
So on that model, no doubt the key is part of that system, but the more common thing is there's what's called a pass lock sensor in the ignition housing. And it's pretty much what recognizes the data and says, yes or no, it's a good key or not key. And what happens is it does very intermittently act up. Most people say it might do it once every month. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, it's twice a month, three times a month, you know, so on and so forth until eventually just dies. That one, remind me, doesn't on the left-hand side of the instrument panel, doesn't it have a little small square window that tells you different things from like oil changes?
It does, and it will say, you're right, and it will say security on there.
Yeah, so.
But it's got some other, so. I didn't know if that was just part of the initial startup, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it technically isn't. I mean, it wouldn't be uncommon for that light to come on and then, of course, go out as soon as it cranks up. But the good thing is, I guess the better thing is that it can be diagnosed, especially because there will be a history code stored in there, most likely for a pass lock sensor or a pass lock sensor circuit. So, you know, of course, obviously, it is doing it intermittent. Just depends on how much you want to gamble with it. Because, of course, you know, knowing that problem, most technicians that worked on a lot of those kind of know what to go to, what to look for, and you could potentially get it resolved before it leaves you stranded.
Yeah, that would be better.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we will check into that and see if we can maybe isolate the key and see what he did use a new key. So. And now, is that something that has to be a sensor that's got to be replaced, or is it just a key issue? Or
it is. And do you work with your trucks yourself? Like, do you replace stuff on it yourself? Or?
I'm fairly, yes, sir. Yeah,
because I mean, of course,
I'm
obviously,
not like a super mechanic, but I can do most things, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason I mentioned it. Your average mechanic or you know, driveway mechanic could definitely replace that part. The big thing is, of course, I think you're about to touch on that subject. It does have to be reprogrammed, but I don't mind telling you, you can look it up online. There's a key sequence sequence that you can do. It's pretty much turn the key on, let it sit for 10 minutes. The security light goes off, shut it off, attempt to start the car, the truck, let it sit another 10 minutes, essentially doing that three times and it'll reprogram the key for you.
And Chuck, you can, deposit what? Is at $125.
Oh, I like that. That's
the John Ryan deposit that. But that part, you're able to go to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, they definitely
they keep
have
those in stock.
For sure.
Great place.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I sure do appreciate your help. Wonderful news. You guys have a great day.
Same to you.
Thank you very much. John Ryan, it is time to name the winner of the car-related love stories.
Okay. Can we and then we'll go to Ron and Ken.
Okay. James, have you,
yes, sir.
You and John, you have been our judges for the Car Related Love Story show, and it is time to name another winner. And who would that be?
So as they say, the rubber's going to meet the road here, right, Joan?
Well, that's give us right. a little background on why you choose the person and a little about the story, just so we know which one it was.
Sure enough. We've pawed through the details. We've done some scaling, let's say, because we had to scale this both on the interpersonal side, the romantic side, but we cannot turn our back on the automotive features here, the aspect of the cars. After all, it's a car show, right? We're car people.
It is.
So that caused us to come to a conclusion about Ken being the winner. And we'll tell you why. Because he had some nice cars in that story. That 69 Executive, I can see it right now. Mm-hmm. Big, beautiful car. But he didn't rely only on that. He also took advantage of going the extra mile, let's say, to get his dad, let him have that 75 T-Bird for that first date.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it must have been a right choice because even the ex-boyfriend who quizzed this new girlfriend wanted to know what kind of car he drove. And it also had a nice story that they worked together. He gave when they met back in 84, and he was working at the department store. She was working at the department store at different places. And the other good news is, a real important part is,
they're still together.
That's right. 36 years later, 5 kids, 8 grandchildren.
That is wonderful. So Ken is the winner with the 75, driving the 75 T-Bird. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, James, for being our judges today. We really appreciate it. And congratulations to Ken on winning the prize today. We appreciate it. Okay. Number to call 706-863-5800. And John Ryan, I believe the right thing to do would be to go ahead and answer the tech tip quiz. We didn't get an answer to that.
That, and then maybe Ryan and Ken can hold all the way till next week.
Yeah, would they mind doing that?
One said, yeah, he had no problem doing it.
No, let's ask them to please give us a call back because I think this would be a real important one to go ahead and mention. And I'm going to mention the question real quick. Scott wanted to do something on a special on Valentine's Day for his wife, Shelly. So he went to a store that sold perfume and jewelry, spent $10, and made it the most special Valentine's Day ever. What did he buy? And the answer is Scott went to Target. They do sell perfume and jewelry, but Scott did not buy that. He bought a Valentine's Day card and a big pack of Post-it notes. He put Post-it notes all in the car that said things like, I've always loved you. You take my breath away. Happy Valentine's Day, gorgeous. The car was completely filled. So that was a special Valentine's Day. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Oh, did I win? See you next week on the CNC Auto Show.